In the name of the beloved, in the name of the friend, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. As you know, today is the 25th of Dhul-Qa'da, the 11th month of Islamic calendar. And on this day, the 25th of Dhul-Qa'da, it's highly recommended to fast. And according to narrations, the reward we get for the fasting of today is equal to 60 months of fasting. According to another narration, it says that the 25th of Dhul-Qa'da is called Dahwul Ard, which means the spreading of the earth where the Holy Kaaba was situated, or is now situated. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our fasting on this day. Today's topic, dear brothers and sisters, is the Islamic view on computer games. Are we allowed to play those games that we have today? What is the verdict about it? And what about wasting time and the Islamic view on it? Today we have, as usual, Sheikh Agha Muhammadi joining us in the studio, our dear expert from the Islamic seminaries of Qom. And from London, we have Hussein Musharraf, an Islamic expert over there. And I want to also say salam to Ms. Sadiqian, my co-host.
Assalamu alaikum, Ms. Sadiqian. Brother, thank you. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, let me extend my salams and respects to you all, dear companions of Open Talk. I'm your host, Elaha Sadiqian, with my colleague in this program, helping the program, inshallah, with the ideas worth spreading. Now we're going for a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more.
Welcome back, dear viewers, to Open Talk. Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to our studio.
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadan wa alihi al-Tahirin. Assalamu alaikum to you once again.
Wa
and to our brothers and sisters all around the world watching this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us to be among the real followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And inshallah to be granted this tawfiq and chance to visit the holy city of Mecca and Medina, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. Thank you very much. Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, we had one question before we go into the topic of computer games. There was one more question remaining from the last session that we had. And that was the practical ways to have a better usage of the internet and social networks and avoid bad effects. What can you say about it?
In fact, there is a lot to be mentioned, and in the previous session we didn't have the chance to speak about the negative aspects of and the threats and the dangers which are there. But to be brief about the tactics that we can have to have a better and a good usage and using internet, I believe that we have to have this point in mind that internet is not an entertainment.
All right.
For some people, it might be entertainment, right. But I believe that we shouldn't look at it as entertainment, because when you look at it as entertainment, usually people do not have a specific purpose in surfing the different pages, and this being purposeless, it itself can cause problems, because the person easily can enter into any page.
But how should we look at Google or internet?
I mean, it's a very important, beneficial device that we have at our disposal to solve lots of the problems, to achieve a lot, to gain lots of fruits out of it. So there must be a purpose in using internet.
All right.
So the person, even for very simple things that they may regard it to be not important, I think there must be a need. There must be a cause. There must be some reason behind it. So they have to know what they are going to do. And
so the intention is very important.
Yeah, what they are looking for. This is important to know what you are, in fact, looking for in the internet. And before entering into internet, I think they have to have management of time. Time management is very important. You know, so I think it happens to lots of the audience that they have this experience that without any specific purpose, they turn on the computer.
All right.
And they enter the internet.
Surfing.
And after 3 or 4 hours, they come to themselves and they see that they didn't have any purpose, but they spent that lot of time. That
but can't we have a balance between them, entertainment and doing research, for example?
I mean, even
and
if
increasing
you,
your knowledge at
I
the same
I told you the purpose. Even if you want to have fun,
yes.
So you have to know what you are going to do. You know, it shouldn't be like surfing without any purpose. I mean, from this page to another. Even if the person wants to entertain himself, he must know that I'm going to that page and there is good entertainments. Then I can benefit from the entertainments.
All right.
So I mean, this being purposeless, it is dangerous in itself. Another factor is the management of time. The person from the very beginning, he must have a plan. I'm going to work on the net today for 1 hour.
Mm.
And they can use some, you know, alarms, like these watches that they have alarm. They can use them just to make them
not past the limit.
Yeah, ever. That, yeah, there must be a limit for using internet. And I think one of the good ways, of course, it's somehow difficult, but for parents, a kind of, you know, maybe family intranet, intranet, you know, to, I don't know.
Do some censorship at some sites for the children?
Some censorship and also sometimes filtering is needed.
Mm.
And also to have very good sites to choose and to make a list of good sites and give good options to the child, to people, then they have, if they want to, for example, entertain themselves, they have this good, I don't know, 20 good pages and webs they can go and enjoy. And you know that it is better than others and it is safe. So the risk is, in fact, lower there than there are such plans. And also what is very important is that, you know, if you remember in the previous sessions, we talked about other kinds of entertainments, like visiting friends, family, going mountains, I don't know. These are very important to have such plans in the life.
True.
If we have such entertainments in the for the children in the family, then it can be a good replacing entertainments for just being in the net and surfing.
Thank you for that, Sheikh. Now, if we go to the main topic of today, computer games. Now, when we see that Islam says that the most absolutely expensive commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to humankind is time and the management of time, and that you shouldn't waste your time on things that can't increase your knowledge or can't benefit you at all, and you would be accountable for it at Yawm al-Qiyamah, at the Judgment Day. What is the verdict that we can take from Islam in regard to computer games?
First of all, in fact, there are different points to be mentioned. One is that what you said, the wastage of time. We need entertainments, and we mentioned that these are, entertainment is one of the needs for man in his life. But we shouldn't be excessive in this. Mm. So, and we cannot mention one specific time, 2 hours, I don't know, 1 hour. Mm. For people, it might be different. But the fact is that for people and different people, it might be different. That
what
they
I meant,
Sheikh,
was
themselves.
Not. Sorry for interrupting you, Sheikh. What I meant was not specifically the hours. It was the content, for example, of that specific computer game.
I will go to them.
All right.
That's why I said there are different aspects to be, in fact, studied.
All
first
right.
is the time management.
Yes.
So. It shouldn't be excessive. You know, it shouldn't be in a way that to waste time.
Even if the computer game can increase your knowledge?
I saw a student, he told me that, in fact, he was an addict to it, and he didn't know what to do. He said, every day I play 5 hours a day and it is 4 or 5 years that I'm doing this way. So you see, such a student, they cannot study.
All right.
It's the wastage of time for that
person. But it could be a kind of study if we look at some specific computer games.
I will come to them, inshallah.
Yeah. Sorry.
So first of all, it shouldn't be wastage of time.
All right.
And people, you know, everyone, I think, finds it better than others that how much time they have for entertainment, and if the limit is passed, then it becomes excessive for them. The other factor is that there shouldn't be haram music, there shouldn't be haram sins like, I don't know, pornography and things like this. And also the content must not be against Islamic teachings, I mean in a way to hurt the Islamic beliefs. Because this is one of the facts that we see there, some, you know, political motivations which are behind this making.
You're going a little bit into the haram parts of computer games. Is that true?
Yeah.
You're mentioning the haram points
right now. These are the negative points, right. I mean, there. And we can mention some examples if you like.
But so we can elaborate on that a little bit further in the program, inshallah. But what I meant specifically, Sheikh, was the content of the games. If the content of the games is good, is something that you can increase your knowledge with, then it doesn't matter how many hours you play that computer game.
It depends.
It depends. All right.
When we come to the positive aspects of the games, then I can mention that there are some good positive aspects that we can benefit from. There are good fruits you can achieve from the games, so they can be good in that regard.
All right. Thank you, Sheikh. I think we have Sheikh Musharraf Hussaini tuned in from London. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Do you have my voice?
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Welcome to our program, Sheikh. If I ask you the same question, Sheikh, about computer games, and if you have in mind the teachings of Islam when it says that consuming your time for something that wastes your time and it doesn't increase your knowledge at all, and the most expensive commodity that you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be accountable for it on Judgment Day, is time. What can you say about the Islamic view on computer games?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, time and our life is a very precious thing which Allah has granted us. So it should not be used just for the sake of entertainment. Islam also calls about entertainment, about sports, and in those entertainments, what is taken, the factor which is taken into consideration is the physical factor, the spiritual factor, and the mental factor, all three of them. Mm. Whereas the worldly things, they just concentrate on the mind and the body. So with that thing, the computer games, in fact, they don't give you any physical exercise for yourself.
No.
Physically, only your fingers are moving and you are doing the exercise of your fingers, whereas your mind, it works, overworks. And then you come to the contents. The contents of the video games, usually, they don't help you in your personal life. They don't give you something. For example, say the same machine can be used for learning the driving of a car or flying an aeroplane. That's a positive thing. But just a video game where there are two parties, there is an enemy and you.
Yes.
It brings into your mind that you are enemy with some, and give you psychologically, it gives a very negative effect, especially for the children who are of not of the age to understand these things, and whose minds are just shaping up for their life.
Yes.
For them, getting into continuously getting into something games where they have got enemies, they have to kill the enemy, and the enemy is or enemy will kill him.
Mm.
It has got negative effects on the children.
Yes.
as a game, also as a contents of the video games. On the other hand, most of the video games which are planned, they have got something that they attract you and they addict you. And
that's
the children
true.
Getting addicted, and even the adults, when they get addicted to them, it's very much affecting, occupying everything in them. Their social life, the level of their social life gets low. They have less time to socialize with their own parents,
yes.
with their own brothers and sisters, with their friends. or with other classmates. Their only, the only interest they have got is with the video games. And here in the West, we are seeing now that there is a generation which is coming up. They call them Wi-Fi generation. Yes. Wi-Fi generation, because they're always busy with their computers. They are not interested with their families, with their brothers, with their sisters. They don't socialize with their friends even. The only players they socialize, they are sitting in their rooms with their computers on the internet, and they have got other parties who are playing with them. They are playing with the far off people, but in fact this computer and these video games have taken over the time, of their parents, which is used for the guidance of the children, all that. So it's affecting the families, it's affecting the human being as an individual, and the future generation is badly being affected.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, to some extent we can say where there is a learning process in that, but even then, there should be a limit. Water is good for human health, but excess of water is not good even.
Thank you, sir.
So with limitation, with control, if we do that, might be it's beneficial.
Inshallah,
but most of it, they are not beneficial.
Inshallah, Ta'ala. We'll explain a little bit more about that, inshallah, after the break. Please join us after the break.
Electronic games, including portable gaming consoles, smartphones, computer games, and online game competitions, have invaded our lives in many ways. Perhaps it's a good time to analyze their effect on our lives before it's too late. What is to be said about these much-discussed modes of entertainment? Perhaps it is better to go back to the meaning of entertainment to reach greater clarity. Islamically speaking, it's a progressive way to spend our time to regain or maintain our physical or mental vitality, and reach insight and centeredness in our goals, a means to connect with our community or our talents. So what is it that this form of entertainment has to offer? And does it agree with an Islamic or progressive lifestyle? And let's just say that a certain amount of fruitless downtime is in order. How much is too much or destructive? As youth, perhaps, we should ask ourselves, is it taking us towards a goal or helping us to refocus? Or are we to look back with regret of all the money and finances invested every time a new game console is released? And are we using it of a lack of ideas as to how to spend our time more constructively, a means of escape perhaps? As parents, can we not find more enlightening experiences to offer our children from the age of 4 to 20? Or do we give in to the pressures of not keeping up with the times of our children's persuasion? Do we feel at ease with the violence that we know they're constantly being inundated with when deeply immersed in these games? Or is it that we do not know a way out? And a few years down the line, would we wish that we had been more wise? Finally, could it be contributing to their displacement and disconnection from their communities and societies?
Our dear viewers, thank you for watching. You're watching a live television broadcast from the holy city of Qom. And don't forget to the available ways you have to contact us, of course, our Facebook page, Twitter, and Skype, and our email. They're going to be subtitled throughout the program. And also, you can follow our video clips on YouTube in case you need to give your comments on them. And now, at the very beginning, just joining us is a viewer. Salam to you, brother, and welcome to our program. Let us know your name, please, first.
My name is Ramadan Kasim, and I'm from Kenya.
Thank you, brother Ramadan. The question is here, brother, how can we make video games more productive instead of just pure entertainment?
First of all, to make the video games, computer games, more productive for our use for young men in this generation, is that we make games that will make the youth to think, not games that will drive the minds of the youth. And also, at the end of the game, we should make a conclusion or bring an idea that will make the youth to think about the next step that will better the game.
No. Yes, and do you think there should be an anti-video game campaign, like an anti-smoking one, for example?
Yeah, there can be an anti-game campaign in a way that if the games that are made, are produced, are making the youth, are, or games that mislead the youth, that are not productive to the youth, the games that a youth will consider the game, but at the end will not benefit to the youth. That's it.
Thank you so much, brother. Following what you said, and back to Dr. Agha Mohammadi, a question is here from our emails, doctor, and that is, the games get progressively more challenging, and yet they attract those who society refers to as the couch potatoes, the lazy youngsters and teenagers. And we spend 3 billion hours a week as a planet playing video games. Is it worth it? How could it be more worth it? And how can we as individuals gain more than just entertainment from the gaming industry, of course?
This is one fact that sometimes, as I mentioned, people are excessive. And it could be in different things. So when something passes the goes beyond the limits, it may has the negative effect. So we must have a management for it. We must have a plan for it. We can have first of all, we have to bear it in mind that it is somehow unavoidable nowadays. You cannot omit it from the life. It's a fact that these are there and children want and they are pleased to have them. So we have to direct it to a positive way. We have to give them good games to play. So the parents have this responsibility to manage the time, have a time management for children, mm-hmm. to see how many hours they are going to play with the, these games. Even they can use these games for training the children. One of the, in fact, pressures that family and the parents can have over the children is the games. If the child made a mistake, so tomorrow he is not allowed to play the game. So it can be a kind of instrument for them to have the children, in fact, in their hands and to educate them and train them. So there are lots of games that we can teach children through them.
Sorry. So you're addressing that to the parents, just, or the game industry, or both of them?
I mean, these are in the game. So we cannot say if this money is being spent for the money for the games. So this is very bad. This is a fact which is there. Of course, we have to. I mean, we shouldn't be excessive in this. This is a good, in fact, point for us to struggle, we ourselves as Muslims, to produce good, I don't know, games.
Yes.
Nowadays, those countries who are producing these games, they get a lot of money. It's sometimes much more than those countries who are producing oil.
Sure.
So this is a fact which is there, and people like it. The world likes it, and they are interested in it. So instead of just blaming it, I think we have to do something ourselves. We have to produce these good games. The games can be beneficial. We can teach, I don't know, different fields, geography, physics, different
fields of study,
to children. So we can benefit from this instrument, and at the same time, it can be harmful.
Yeah.
It can hurt in children in many aspects. So this industry in itself can be positive, can be negative. So how to manage it is important.
Yeah, thank you so much. Brother, we're with you.
Thank you. Now I want the viewers to concentrate on this part. It's the part where we will talk about the haram aspects of computer games. And Sheikh Agha Mohammadi has worked a lot on it, and he has done a lot of research on it. So Sheikh Agha Mohammadi, if I ask you, what kind of computer games are haram?
As I mentioned some of the parts in the intro to the topic, if they contain some pornographic images and pictures, then they're absolutely haram. If the music is haram, again, because of the music, it can be haram. If there is kind of gambling, like cards, you know, there are some cards for gambling. And if the person is playing with the computer, then it's not gambling, and then it's okay. But if there are other people that he's playing with them, then if in the society, the common people, they regard it to be an instrument for a gambling device, then it is haram. Otherwise, it's not haram. And if there is any content which is against Islamic teachings, there are some games that they give a depict a very negative picture of Islam and Muslims. They are haram. Like some games like Delta Force, even on the map, if you notice the map, you see that Islamic parts are black, and the most black one is Iran, you know.
All right.
Yeah. So this is, there is a point in these games.
Yes.
And even if Muslim youth, they want to play these games, you know, they are killing Muslims.
Yes.
They go to some places like mosques, and they kill people who are speaking Arabic, and they are Muslim. And things, these things, they can be regarded to be haram.
Yes.
Those negative things which are haram and they are brought into these games, they are haram. But the other side, otherwise, if they don't have such containments, so it's okay.
For example, sanctifying the cross or sanctifying other religious symbols of other religions.
Yeah, also they can be regarded to be haram. In the sense that they are, in fact, inculcating these teachings in the youth of, in the minds of Muslim youth.
True. Thank you, Sheikh. If I address my question to Sheikh Musharraf Hussaini in London, if I ask you the same question, Sheikh, you talked a little bit about it before the break. Could you elaborate on the computer games which are haram?
Yeah, actually, there the halal and haram factors are clear in Islam. So anything in the video games that's, for example, contaminating the minds of the players with violence, with destruction, with hatred of any sort and any form, or might be against an individual, might be against the religious sanctities of other people, or might be against some values, cultural or religious values, or which are the games which become a reason for eliminating the good values of any religion or community, or it's pointed towards any thought or school of thought of any religion or something like that. Obviously, Islam doesn't allow to do that, and it which inculcates the mind. The most the role that's played by these video games is these games play with the mind of the player. And the mind of the player is not just playing, he's learning too many things. If he learns hatred, if he learns violence and destruction of the opponent, they can be haram in Islamic views. But they are something very visible, obvious things like pornographic sort of things, or which inculcate the people, the player towards those, increase the inclination towards wrong things and haram things. In might be gambling, might be drinking, might be womanizing.
An important point that you mentioned,
Sheikh. That can be obviously haram.
Sorry for interrupting you. An important point that you mentioned, Sheikh, was that even we as Muslims are not allowed to make computer games which somehow disrespects other religions. That was an important point that we could add.
Yeah, of course. We do, Islam doesn't allow that. You should be pointing your games against any other religion or any other people who have got their own mindset and they've got some values. Might be those values, I don't respect those values, but Islam doesn't tell us that we should, which is a community of followers. We've got a group of people who are following that. Mm-hmm. Any other school of thought, any other religion, to disrespect them or to make games of them, I don't think that Islam will allow that to hurt the people's mind. Islam is through convincing. But anyhow, there can be too many other things haram. For example, if a game is affecting the person's mind or his physique very negatively, that can obviously become haram for himself also because it's hurting himself. Yes. So anything that affects soul, mind, or body of a player in a negative manner, that can be haram in
Islam.
Thank you,
Sheikh. Thank you. If I address my next question to you, Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, what computer games are halal? We talked a little bit about computer games which can increase your knowledge. Mm-hmm. What can you say about it?
In fact, those who are halal, they are much. Mm. I mean, we said there are some qualifications.
Yes.
And if any game has these attributes, then it is haram. And the rest are halal. And
so the computer games which are halal are more than the haram games?
Of course, yes, because usually those haram aspects are very limited. But there are many good and positive parts in these games that we can benefit from them. You know that the game and playing is the language of children, especially for children who are of the very young age. Mm. The way that they learn things is through games and playing. This is how they, you know, communicate with others. They, I don't know, imitate others. They try to, in fact, gain knowledge or deliver what they have learned from the others in the way that they play and the role plays that they have. So playing itself is very important, and it's a very strategic, in fact, method for children to be taught. So we can benefit from this. First of all, it's a way for children to learn using how to use computer. Mm. It's a need today.
Yes.
And this can be one fruit in that. Another aspect is that there is a kind of cooperation between the eyes and the hands.
All right.
So people who play these games, they can use these to and cooperate and in fact organize their hands with their mind, and somehow they can be
Should put in mind that we shouldn't neglect the physical activity that a child needs also.
Of like, course, yes, this is what, like, inshallah we will come to
like
it.
Children at old days or at our age.
Of course, if you're you have to bear in mind,
so there should be a balance between computer games and physical games.
At the beginning of this program, we mentioned that it shouldn't be excessive.
Yes.
If it is in a limitation, if there are borders, if there is time management, after all this, we are talking about these positive aspects. And also, we can teach lots of things to the children. Yes. Some physical, I don't know, physics, chemistry, mathematics, I don't know.
Through games.
Yeah, through games. For example, there is a computer game, its name is Jeev Health.
All right.
It encourages you children to use vegetables and fruits. And it shows that how beneficial they are for the health of the child.
Yes. So even toys, we have toys which can increase your knowledge.
So, and especially those games that more than one person can be involved. Mm. For example, in the family, mother, father, or brothers with the child, they can play with the children. Mm. Then it can somehow reduce that the danger which is there, that it isolates the children when they play together. And you know, when there is enjoyment, when the game is joyous, the child is happy. It's a good chance, if the parents are with the child there, it's a good chance for them to mention some points to the child in an indirect way. When you address the child by do's and don'ts, it may not be accepted by the child that much. But when you indirectly, through the game, you teach him some points, some instructions you give the child through the game, they can benefit from it. So so the parents, as they care about the food, as they care about the clothes, about the color of the shoes and I don't know other things that they buy for the child, they have to care about the games that they buy for the child. You know, it's not good just to go to a shop and say what is the new game, give me a good game. I don't know. So we have to be careful with the game that we are choosing for the child, because the child is going to be to live with these games.
Yes.
So if we be careful with these games that we choose, then we can have them entertained, and also we can help them to learn through games, and not to be harmful, not to waste their time.
Thank you, Sheikh. Yeah. Thank you. All right, I think Ms. Sadeghian has something prepared for us.
Why not? There's a video clip about the effects of violent video games, especially on our children. Watch it for a couple of minutes and then we'll lead a talk on that.
This Christmas, parents are going to buy children games like this. This is real. Kids underage play many games like this because when parents go to buy games, they don't check the age ratings. So this Christmas, when you go to buy a new Xbox game, check the age rating.
Hello.
Do you believe video games have a negative influence on children?
I do, a significant influence. I think it's a really bad new technology that is going to influence, especially younger kids now that are doing it all the time, very significantly in the future.
I don't believe that violent video games affect kids, because I know when I was younger, I used to play violent video games all the time.
You know, I've been playing violent video games since elementary school, probably, and for me it's kind of, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that stuff in real life.
After seeing this scene in this video game, how does it affect you?
Well, before I saw it, I thought it wasn't going to be that bad, but when I saw it, it looks so real. It's kind of scary.
You know, I thought it was a little disturbing at first when that mission started.
I was actually stunned because I'd never seen a violent video like this before, and I can't imagine how that wouldn't make anybody callous.
It's pretty bad. I mean, it's pretty violent, but it kind of... If you're Russian, then it's pretty bad.
And that game should be, in my opinion, should just be banned. I mean, maybe for adults, 21 and over. You know, in the United States, you can't drink a beer until you're 21. But the fact that you can watch something that violent totally contradicts everything that's going on.
Welcome back and thank you. As you saw, the negative aspects and influence of video games was discussed in the clip. Dr. Musharraf, after my salams to you, let me quote the director of the Center for Media and Child Health, Michael Rich. He says, video games are the best teaching tools we have, in the sense you are not going to be exposed to situations and people, but you are an active player in them. For example, if you are in a game where your job is to kill them before they kill you, you'll get better at that, and that is how we learn anything. Doctor, now, do you think that would properly argue the point? Sheikh Musharraf from London. Do you have my voice?
Yeah, actually, as we see different things in our life, like movies, like cinema, like everything, they've got a good use and a bad use. They've got good effects and the bad effects, and the bad effects need to be controlled. Similarly, in video games also, there can be positive things which enhance the learning skills of a person who is playing them, which can bring out the hidden talents of a player, and they can enhance the hidden talents. Everybody has got some hidden talents, even him himself doesn't know them. To know those fields, video games can play a role. And in our society, in our life, for example, sake, a learning process, there are too many learning processes that we need to go through. For example, sake, just the car driving, or to bring a learner onto the road is in itself a hazard in this time when there are too many cars on the road already and everybody's in a hurry. It is a hazardous to bring a person. So a person can learn driving through playing video games. He can learn flying through that. He can learn chemistry, like our brother said, chemistry and other subjects through it. And there can be some positive things which again, but even then, there need to be control over it. People shouldn't get addicted. Addiction of anything is bad, like getting addicted even to smoking is bad. Similarly, this thing also getting addicted that you can't separate yourself from it and person is playing it for hours and hours, that's the negative side. But the positive side, that the learning process and the talents of the players, they can be enhanced. And then observation, then after observing the situation, making a decision, and then implementing the decision in a very short time, these are the points which enhance the skills of the player.
Yes,
but
sir.
Even then, we need to concentrate on the spiritual effects and the psychological effects of the games, and that needs to be planned very well, that they should be taken into the mind. But the Western things, Western industry, They just see that the only thing to which the people can be attracted, they don't see the effects. They don't see the after effects. Yeah. They don't see the results of those things. Of, like, for example, the destruction, like violence, that they bring very negative effects in the youth especially. Sure. And I don't think that seeing that violent game or playing the violent game for long times, it won't brainwash the child or the player to become violent in his practical life. I don't think it will not affect. It will definitely affect the mind and state and the frame of the mind and the way of thinking of the player in a negative manner.
Thank you. Thank you.
So the positive things, they should be concentrated. And if the positive game, but we don't see too many positive things coming in. Even in the car racing, they bring in car racing, for example, say, if a person, a youth, for example, here in the West, they are fond of, they see, they've been playing those video games from the before they were able to drive on the roads and they got a license. But when they come onto the streets and roads, they apply those skills that they have learned in their car driving, and most of them get into accidents and destruction on the road.
So we should be careful
about the negative things and the positive things. Yes, the positive things are obviously there. They need to be taken care of as a learning tool, as an understanding, and bringing out the hidden talents of the player. Yes, they can play a positive role in schools also, at home also, but it should be for the younger generation, it should be under supervision.
True, Sheikh, true. Thank you. Thank you so much for the point clarified. Brother, we're with you.
I want to address this question to Sheikh Agha Mohammadi. Oh, what practical or tactics can we use to get our children motivated to buy this kind of computer games, which could help their knowledge or benefit them?
First of all, we have to know that the positive, in fact, effects and outcomes of games are there. It might be true that we have few positive games, you can say, few good games. It might be true. But the fact is that they must be produced.
Right. I mean, games. And they're not produced yet.
No. There are two points. First, to say that games are not good, and second, to say we don't have enough good games. These are two different things. We are saying that good games can be good, but the question is that do we have enough good games or not? This is the question that we hesitate to say yes or no. It's right. difficult to say, but. I think the audience, they know themselves better than us. So there must be some things to be done here. And another point is that parents, they have to have this management for the children, the games that they, the tactics I talked about, that they have to have. Time management is very important. That the games that they choose,
maybe see the game before they buy it.
Maybe even at least they can read about it to see what it is about.
Get a little bit more involved in their in the life of the
children. Another important thing is that it is very important for parents to sometimes play with the children. You know, even about the internet, one of the things that usually the children claim is that parents, they don't know what games are. They don't know they don't feel the pleasure of the game. You know, when a father starts playing with his son, for example, for half an hour, and he pretends that he's enjoying, and after half an hour says, okay, time is over, it's enough. It works better, you know.
Yes.
The child knows that my father was enjoying, but because of something more important, he stopped the game, so I have to stop it. But otherwise, if you are busy with your own job and after you say to your child, it's useless, do not play these games, they do not accept it. They say, my father, he doesn't understand what game is. They didn't have this game at their own time, so they don't know the pleasure that I am receiving. So it's very important for parents to cooperate with the children if they have time sometimes to play with the children, and also to put the computer somewhere that everybody can see.
You know, so it shouldn't be
they are not
in
isolated.
Rooms.
Yeah, they are not isolated.
All right.
So at the same time,
maybe
that
the computer
they are
should be in the living room.
Yeah, yeah. The father is there, brothers, sisters are there, mother is there. So everybody are there, and they are not so indulged in their own isolation. It can be a way to help them, in fact, at the same time that they can manage the content of the games and what the child is playing, at the same time they can speak to the child, they can be in contact and in communication with the child. These are some points that they can benefit from them. They can also, as I mentioned, they can use them as a punishment, as a gift or a punishment for the child. If child made a mistake, so tomorrow you are not allowed to play the game because of the mistake that you did.
That could be a practical
practical way to even benefit from these games. Sure.
Thank you, Sheikh. Do you have something for us, Ms. Sadrion?
Yes, of course. There's a site report, of course. On the website pbs.org, viewers, on the page The Video Game Revolution, Sheikh Agha Mohammadi, please share your thought with us. In an essay about the future of video gaming, it is said that with games' ever-growing online components, game companies will try to create massive shared experiences online. They'll launch must-see events in an attempt to draw millions of players online simultaneously. In the future of gaming will not be that all that different from the future of any other form of entertainment. And the average age of the gamer is rapidly approaching 30. As people in their 30s and 40s continue to play video games into their senior years, the genres of games will expand to accommodate those audiences and their discretionary income. Now, how do you see the future of video games and PC games, and what do you think is the key point for this future of this industry, gaming industry?
Yeah, as it is going forward, I think this is a fact that people are interested in games, and there are lots of games that they are not for, you know, children. They don't know how to play with the keyboard, there are lots of options in the games that you have to be very expert to play these games. And as it is mentioned in the report, that usually nowadays we have games that they are for elderly people, for adults. Yeah. When it comes to this, we have to be very careful. Because usually people who are of age, they think that they know what they're doing and they don't listen to others. So there might be a wastage of time. There might be wrong effects and haram effects that we mentioned. This is taking place. This is happening, that they are trying to make some like networks, you know, network games, and engage people into games from different parts.
That's very interesting for all.
Yeah, because there are lots of attractions in these games, attractions that are for adults and even for people of age. So I think for us and for those who are our addresses and they want to have a good life.
I think the time is out, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting you. Yes. They're saying that the time is out. I want to thank you, Sheikh Agha Mohammadi, and I want to thank Sheikh Hussein Musharraf Husseini from London, and Ms. Sadrion with the technical things.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So that was all for today. Please join us in future programs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.